This morning we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you grabbed one of the printed bulletins from the foyer that has sermon notes on it, let me just tell you, we're going to get about halfway down through there. I just had to cut this one in half. It got too complicated and I think to listen to. It's pretty fun from this side, but I think it would have been hard to listen to and keep up. So we're going to pretty much camp out here in Chronicles this morning. Last Sunday, we read several parts of Exodus to see how God provided material for his tabernacle, even before the Israelites knew they were leaving Egypt. God had the resources lined up. We read in Exodus 3, when God was speaking to Moses at the burning bush, he said, "I will provide for you. You will plunder the Egyptians and you will walk away from there with great wealth." He already had a plan to provide for the journey and for the building of the tabernacle. And I just want to remind you that God already has the resources for Lawn Baptist to do any and every work that he has assigned to us. Everything that he has laid out for us to do, and we know from his word that he has laid out things for us to do. He has the resources. He has everything that we need to accomplish his work. In fact, all of the resources are his. Isn't that true? It's all his. It belongs to God, and we are only stewards of his treasures on earth. And that's what Genesis 1 tells us. That we are created to be his representatives here on earth. And really, I just tell you right up front, today's theme is the same as the theme from last Sunday. God has the resources for his work. And this morning, I just want to show you some more evidence. I want you to know without a doubt what God has done so that we know what he's doing now. Now, as we mentioned, this is the second of 5 weeks designated for stewardship lessons. And I don't want every sermon to be about building, nor do I want to ask you for money every Sunday. But we do need to know basic biblical principles about stewardship. And the Bible has a lot to say about money and wealth and poverty. One fellow estimated 1 out of 10 verses in the Bible, every 10 verses, is about money or wealth or poverty. I didn't do the research to check that out. I didn't count it up. This morning we're going to read about King David's store of material for the building of a temple in Jerusalem. Last week we displayed how the Israelites gave the material to build the tabernacle, that portable temple that God gave them instruction to build on Mount Sinai. And we saw that God provided those resources through his people. And God still does that. God still works through his people. In fact, we find that he enjoys it. It's what God enjoys. He enjoys seeing us do his work. And it brings joy to us. Now that tabernacle, that portable temple, was in use from the time they built it at Mount Sinai forward. They were at Mount Sinai for about a year, close to it, and they would have built the tabernacle there according to God's specifications. That tabernacle was not replaced until Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. And I think that was finished around 960 BC. So it's roughly 500 years from Mount Sinai to building the temple in Jerusalem. 500 years is a rough figure there. Don't hold me to that exactly. Now, you know that King David, Solomon's father, wanted to build the temple in Jerusalem. I mean, David was the conquering king. He was the one who conquered Jerusalem, took it over, and he's the one that moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. And he wanted to build God a temple. He said, I live in a nice house, but we still have a tent for God. We need to build a temple. But God wouldn't let him build it. You remember that? God said, you're a man of war. Now, the Bible also remembers him as a man after God's own heart. But he was a man of war. And God said, I don't want you building my temple. Your son Solomon can build it. But David, you can go ahead and gather up the stuff to build it. You can go ahead and you can get everything ready for your son to build it. And he did. He gathered up a lot of wealth. He, like I said, he was a conquering king. Now, I don't want you to think that he was just a colonizer. He really only took land that God had already laid out for Israel, but he did it well. And as he did that, he gathered wealth, and the kings that he conquered, they had to pay him for the privilege to live under his kingdom afterwards. And so he just did amass a great amount of wealth. First Chronicles 29 tells us that David gathered up about 110 tons of gold. I'm summarizing for you here the first part of the chapter. 110 tons of gold, 260 tons of silver for the temple, in addition to bronze and iron and timber and precious stones and marble. You can read it through the first part of the chapter there. That sounds like a lot to me. 110 tons of gold sounds like a lot. And then when he challenged the leaders and the officers of Israel to bring an offering, to bring gifts for the temple, they brought another 190 tons of gold, 380 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, 3,800 tons of iron were contributed. Now, how did the offering plate go that day? Well, obviously, they didn't just show up packing 3,800 pounds of iron, but they contributed all of this to the building of they saw what King David himself laid out. And when he called on the leaders to give, they showed up and they gave. Have I said that God has the resources to do whatever he wants to do? Have I said that God loves to work through his people? Now look at verse 10 in 1 Chronicles 29. We see here that that offering was brought together, that David just led the celebration in praise. Verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the rulers of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king. His words, David's words here, are a great example of how to praise God. And our prayers should always include praise. In fact, it's just good practice to begin there, to start with praise. It helps us get ourselves in the right position before God when we recognize who He is, how mighty, how powerful, how loving He is. It helps us humble ourselves before the mighty God. And David was just in awe of this offering. Lord, who are we that we could bring this to you? And it came from your hand. And he just broke out in praise. Of course, this is the same man who wrote most of the Psalms. He was gifted. The Lord not only made him a mighty warrior, but blessed him with these gifts just to turn phrases and offer the praise of the Lord. All of this is yours, Lord. And we are like shadows. What does that mean? Here and then gone. We're like shadows. I don't know about you men, and I've mentioned this before, I'm tempted to think about equipment and land and cows, and I think about, you know, if I could just do this and I could leave it for my grandson to enjoy, and then I read this, but I'm no more than a shadow. And all of this around us belongs to the Lord. And we need, whatever we hold on to, we need to hold it loosely. We need to learn to hold it loosely. He says, "Lord, I know that you test us and you are pleased with integrity." Thought of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, where they came and said, "We sold some property and here it is, all the profit," but they kept a bunch back for themselves. Their punishment was severe for lying to God. It says God enjoys our integrity. And David said, "All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent." You don't need to be pressured into giving back to God. You should understand the weight of His word, but you should never be coerced by me or anyone else to make an offering, and you should not make it out to be more than it is. You could fool the church probably, but you won't fool the Lord. And this is not a competition. Do you hear me? Your gift to the Lord, if you're honoring the Lord, is as big and as important as anybody else's. It is between you and God. And that's just a sidetrack. I'll get back here. But he mentions integrity, right? I think that's what he's talking about. Lord, I willingly bring my treasury to you. It's yours. And Lord, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. Keep our hearts loyal to you. That's how we need to live. Keeping our hearts loyal to Him, wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. And when we give back to Him, it's just joy. Help us, Lord, to always be submitted to you. Help us to be generous with all that you've provided us and enjoy the pleasure that comes from you. And then he prayed for his son. Father, give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees. And then he also prayed that he would be able to build this building correctly. Now, what about Solomon? By the way, that's a great prayer to pray for ourselves and for our family, to keep that wholehearted devotion to the commands of the Lord. It's important for all of us to pray that and to do our best to live it. David prayed that Solomon would get the temple built, and he did. He did. Like I said, I think it was finished around 960 BC. It says, the word tells us that Solomon began to build the temple in the fourth year of his reign, which was around the spring of 966, and then finished in 960 BC. It was grand. It was ornate. It was a totally eye-catching, awesome structure at the highest point in Jerusalem. When you came to Jerusalem from anywhere else, you would see the gleam of the temple on the hill. Did you remember that this is the same mountain upon which Abraham went with his son Isaac to make a sacrifice? And when God told Abraham, I want you to take your only son whom you love and sacrifice him to me, and I want you to go up this certain mountain. Genesis 22 calls it Mount Moriah. And you remember how that went? Abraham did as God told him. I'm sure not understanding why God told him to do that. And he strapped the wood on his son's shoulders, who went up the hill with the wood on his back. And David carried the fire and the knife. And Isaac asked him on the way up the hill, we have the fire and we have the wood for the offering, but where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide the lamb. He couldn't tell his son, you are the lamb. And when they got on top of the mountain, they set up the altar and put the wood there and got ready for the fire. And Abraham bound his son with cord and laid him up there to sacrifice the only son that he loved. And as he drew the knife back, God said, stop. Now I know your heart. God never intended it for that boy to die. Not at all. But it was a test for Abraham. He said, now I know your heart. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, there's a ram caught in the thicket for the sacrifice. And God provided the ram for the sacrifice. That's another side trail. But isn't it a good one? God provides. And he does test us. What about Solomon and the temple? He did it. He completed it. It was marvelous. And it stood for several hundred years. But what about Solomon? Did his father prayed that he would remain loyal, wholeheartedly devoted to God's commands? Is that what happened to Solomon? he began to stray somewhere in his life. Known by the scripture as the wisest man of his day, and he became one of the wealthiest people in the world. The Queen of Sheba even made a trip to see him for herself, and she was a wealthy woman. But what happened? What, did the money go to his head? I don't know exactly, but he began to stray. He began to take wives from other places and other peoples, and they brought their gods to his house, and he allowed his wives to worship their gods, and before you knew it, he was. And other people started worshiping those gods, and the nation of Israel began to go astray terribly. And right after Solomon, the kingdom divided. And now there was no longer a unified Israel. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. How important is it that we wholeheartedly devote ourselves to the commands of the Lord? And if you want to see a picture of what happened to Israel, just watch the news today. And you'll see how our nation has turned its back on God, and we are in judgment. Back to the temple. They got it built. They had a day of dedication. And they set up a whole bunch of sacrifices they laid out all these bulls and lambs to be sacrificed. And God sent fire from heaven and consumed it all. And it says his glory filled the temple so densely that the priests couldn't go in. And the people on the outside saw the fire fall and saw the glory of God, and they fell down and worshiped yet again. Church, we must remain wholeheartedly to God and to his teaching. And Jesus came to complete that teaching. And the record of Jesus' life and his teaching fills full the Old Testament so that we understand better what God desires. We live for him. And all of the resources are his. Do not allow your wealth and your comfort to lead you astray. Money has power. And you will use it for good or not good. Don't let it lead you astray as Solomon did. Don't chase after the gods of the world, but hold out your wealth loosely. It's God's anyway. Just hold it out and let him use it however he chooses. It comes from his hand. And it occurs to me that God doesn't need my wealth, because he owns it all anyway. But he gives me the privilege of participating with him when I give. When you give, you're allowed to participate in the plans of the Lord. And I'm not just talking about buildings, but helping people go around the world and share the gospel and to do ministry here in South Taylor County and to the ends of the earth. God wants you to experience the joy that David described in his prayer. God loves a cheerful giver. That's what his word says. As I said, I just cut this sermon in half, so I'm going to park it. We've got a lot to do in the next few weeks. I'll work it in there somewhere. You could read ahead. You can grab one of those notes in the foyer if you want to read out into Ezra and Nehemiah, how after the exile and the judgment that God again provided resources for the temple. It's amazing. But I said I'd be quiet. Music team, would you come?